You know, the Bible teaches that God hath made us unto himself, or that is, Jesus hath made us unto God, the great spirit, kings and priests. Kings and priests. To me, it's just sufficient, more, I would say, than sufficient. To me, you know, serving God, it's sufficient to me just to be a child of God. Just to be a child of God, that's sufficient. I'm more than grateful for what little service I give to God, just to be rewarded to be a Christian and have eternal life. Isn't that right? But to think that God has given all of the additives, in that he hath made us sons of God, daughters of God, and children of God, saints of God, and he hath given us all things that pertain unto life, and made us kings and priests unto our God. Kings and priests unto our God. Isn't that wonderful? I wonder, since you are kings, some of you, then I wonder how much concern that you have about your kingdom. And you that are priests, I wonder how much concern that you have about your power of intercession. Whereas the Bible teaches that we should intercede, that we should pray, that is, to God, that he would grant repentance unto them that all without. It's our job to make intercession. In Christ is stead, as the body of Jesus, the Spirit of God, working in the members of our instrumentality, leaving us to be as a mediator between man and God. Even though there's only one mediator, that's the man Christ Jesus, but yet we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And the Bible says we stand in Christ's stead, or that is, we are here instead of Christ, in that he's gone, beseeching the world that they should be reconciled unto our heavenly Father. What a beautiful opportunity. What a beautiful priesthood. And I wonder how concerned we really are about our spiritual children. The Bible said the parents should lay up for the children. And I wonder just how concerned that we really are. What a beautiful day. What a beautiful thought. What a beautiful opportunity. To think that at this moment, I won't be this way always, but at this moment, we have the great, the grand, and glorious privilege of serving Jesus, of doing service for the Almighty God. We have the opportunity right now. Life affords the opportunity for me and you to do it. After a while, it's going to be over. But to think right now, you can rise up and say, I'll do service for the great King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God. I volunteer my service for the great high priest and the great King of Kings. Oh, what an opportunity. God, help me not to let it bypass me. Don't let it bypass me, O Heavenly Father. Let's read just a little bit from the 8th chapter of the book of Luke. Beginning at the first verse. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's stewardess, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moist. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said unto you, It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. Neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wore no clothes. Neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throngs thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And the parents were astonished because he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Now, you know, there's just so many wonderful jewels in this reading. Jesus said in the 25th verse, "Where is your faith?" And then it says here that he had clothed Legion in the 35th verse. And had him in his right mind. And then it says here that somebody touched Jesus and virtue went out of his body. And he offers consolation to the person that did it by saying, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And then down a little further, the man that felt that the daughter was dead and all hope was gone, to him Jesus said, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." So then tonight, as we talk on a few of these things here, I'd like for you to think on Jesus and reap what you can from the scriptures and what we say. Take everything that you can and put it into your treasure chest. Paul said, "A good man will bring forth out of his treasure our treasure chest, both old and new." And so then we have this heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels. And tonight, as we speak to you about this heavenly treasure, now a lot of people are not interested in heavenly treasure. They're so busy trying to get earthly treasure, which is really but a bunch of junk. But they're so busy trying to get earthly treasure until they never have time to get heavenly treasure. But the knowledge of God is heavenly treasure. The knowledge of God produces a faith that you cannot get any other way. How many of you believe that I'm telling you the truth? It produces a faith that you cannot get from any other source. And what is the value of faith? Why, it's everything. When a man's got faith, brother, sister, he's got everything. Do you agree to that? When he's got faith, he's got all the earthly treasures. He's got diamonds, he's got silver, he's got gold. God, by faith, spoke the world into existence by the use of his word, saying, "Let there be." In the beginning was the word. And by the act of faith, through the word, God created the world. So then when you get the knowledge of God, you've got the greatest treasure that heaven or earth can afford, God's own Son, the Word. And when you make that Word flesh in your own being, as God made it so in Jesus Christ, then you become the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and members in particular. And with that great, wonderful Word, which is the mind of Christ, comes the faith of Christ by which we're sanctified. And that great, wonderful faith of God begins to settle down within our heart. Then you hear a voice from heaven saying, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and I'll do it. Ask what you will. All you have to do is abide in the word and let the word abide in you. And brother and sister, you can ask what you will, thank you, and it'll be done. It'll be done. So then, every time that I go to talk about God, and I go to talk about the word, I just get all beside myself. Paul said, for Christ, I'm beside myself. But I get beside myself, I get so thrilled when I start thinking about the word. All I have to do is just get in the back room somewhere and start thinking about it. And I just get beside myself. I get so thrilled because it is the word of spirit and it is the word of life. It is the word of faith that can give me any treasure from diamonds to gold. It is the one. It is the main one. And I get beside myself. I'm carried away with it. And I just try to heap my shovelfuls and get it into my earthen vessel. I just love it. I long after it. It is so wonderful, the great mind of the Almighty God that created heaven and earth. And to think that God is wanting to put that same powerful mind, that same great, mighty mind that created heaven and earth, God is wanting to put it in your human person. God is wanting to put it in you the same way that He put it in Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? To think that God wants to take me as an individual and put all of that great mind of God in me, in that we're ordained to the full measure of the full stature of Christ Jesus. And I think about that and I just get beside myself. I get so thrilled. Brother Andre this morning talking to us, you that missed this morning, you really missed something. He talked to us for over an hour. And him talking about the wonderfulness of God and God's Word, and having studied so diligently down through the years trying to understand God's precious word, a life given to the cause of Jesus, to the best of his ability and understanding. And here we are, the privileged people. I can't help but rejoice. There ain't no way that I can help but rejoice. I'm thrilled about it. With all of my troubles and all of my problems and all that I have to compete with in life, I'm still so thrilled over the wonderful divine touch of the Master, until I just stay beside myself all the time about this wonderful word of Jesus. If the Bible says here that when God found Legion, that he cast the devil out of him. That's the first thing God had to do when he found me. He had to cast the devil out of me. He had to get the devil out of me. Because the first thing I needed when God found me was the devil cast out of me. And I praise God because he did exactly that. He did me like Legion. He cast the devil out of me. And then when he cast the devil out of me, he sanctified me by that wonderful faith of Christ. And the great, wonderful Holy Spirit of God, that great life of God, began to fill my being. And brother, my cup began to run over. And tonight as I stand here, I feel it. I feel it in my mind. I feel it in my heart. I feel it in my blood genetics. I feel God's Spirit. God's great and mighty Spirit. The Bible said be filled with the Spirit of God. Did you notice this girl that Jesus raised from the dead? Did you notice the Bible says that her spirit came again? Isn't that right? When you're standing in the place that Jesus stood in, when you have power with God, you get control over the spirits. You can take control over the spirits. And the fallen angels, which are demon spirits, those rejected of God, you have power over them to cast them out. Isn't that right? And by the same token, as we say, you have power with God over human spirits, that if the human spirit departs from the body, to call it back and put it in the body. That's what Jesus did. Said, now don't be afraid, don't get frustrated just because this thing called death has come around. Said the maiden, she's all right. Don't be all torp about it. She's not dead, so she's asleep. Said Lazarus is asleep. I'm going to go over there and wake him up. Now don't be disturbed. You say, but Brother Pike, to me, death is death. When you're dead, you're done, as a fellow told me in Baltimore, Maryland one time. But I want you to know something, that if your spirit has been translated into the Spirit of God, and your spirit has become one with God's spirit, brother, sister, there is no such thing as dying. It's impossible for you to die. For death is separation of your spirit from God's spirit. But it's just a matter of going to sleep. If your spirit is in God's spirit, death hath no power over you. It's just a matter of going to sleep. Whereas the Bible uses the terms that death, the spirit, goeth back to God who gave it, because man terms it as death. But Jesus said it's not really death, it's sleep. He proved that when he spoke to Lazarus. And Paul, having the revelation, he did the very same thing. Paul said, I want to show you a mystery. Said, we're not all going to sleep. Some of us is going to learn better than that. That there's too much to be done to be doing that. You know, a lot of people just want to sleep. The Bible said concerning the prophets of old, Jacob, Abraham, they fell on sleep. But see, I don't feel sleepy, do you? Hallelujah. The Bible said, he that keepeth Jacob, or he that keepeth Israel, he shall not slumber. There's no sleep with God. And once you come into this great, wonderful thing of God, you don't feel sleepy anymore. I don't feel sleepy. I'm not trying to buy up a lot of insurance and get everything prepared so that I can go to sleep, because I'm not sleepy. I'm wide awake. The Bible said I must be about my Father's business. See, I pass from that death unto life when it comes to my spirit being separated from God and my spirit is sealed in with God. I'll never come into the second death, which the Bible calls the lake of fire. And so it is with sleep. I have learned that we don't have to go to sleep. Therefore, if God never sleeps, why should I have to sleep? I'm born of God. Why should I have to sleep? I'm not sleepy. It don't make sense for folks to go to sleep when they're not sleepy. You know, right? Now, if you were tired and sleepy, I'd say, well, go on to sleep. You know, folks out there that don't know God, they don't have this great, wonderful drive and inspiration. They don't have the renewing of life and this great, wonderful surge of youth that's always coming, like the eagle renewing the youth. So they get tired and they get sleepy, and God's made a bed for them to let them rest. But brother, sister, I'm not sleepy. Glory to God, it's morning, it's time to get up and do something. Amen. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. He said, now don't get frustrated. Everything's all right. The maiden, she just taking a nap. We'll go over and wake her up. Lazarus is just asleep. Brother Thomas and some of them said, well, if he's dead, I guess we'll all go over and die together. Well, that was some more ministry, wasn't it? Jesus said, well, we'll just go over and wake him up. Too busy to go over and sleep with him. We'll go wake him up. That's the thing to do. See, folks, what we want to do is go wake them up. Go wake them up at the midnight cry. They all arose and trimmed their lamps. Let's don't put them to sleep. Let's wake them up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What they want to hear is the trump of God sounding. The Bible said when it sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise. Hallelujah. And that's what we want to do, is wake them up. So then, they that are out there that are drunken and asleep, they are drunken off of the cares of life, and they are asleep. Asleep in the night, and the dark, dark night of intellectual reason has fell upon them. And they've been overshadowed by the shadow of death. And they're asleep. But brother and sister, we're not children of the darkness. Men sleep in the darkness. They sleep in the night. We are not children of the darkness, nor of the night. We are children of the day. Why should we sleep? Behold, I show you a mystery, Paul said. We're not all going to get sleepy. I show you a mystery. That's what the writer's saying here. And they said to Jesus, they said, well, Lord, said, you know, there's something here that we see is different when you talk to us. Said, it's different from when you talk to them that are without. Said, Lord, why is it? Said, we perceive that when you talk to those people, that everything that you say to them, you put it in a veil. And you hide it from them. And they don't understand what you're saying. But they said, Lord, you don't talk that way to us. And Jesus said, it is said unto them in parables. Why? He said, for it is not given unto them to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. I don't intend for them to know it, Jesus said. The God of this world has blinded their eyes, lest at any time they should see and convert in their heart, and then I should heal them. They're blind, and they're in darkness, and they don't know where they're going. And that darkness is in them. And how great is that darkness? Jesus said, if that light within you, that is your understanding, that part of the understanding that you have in life, he said, if you have understanding, and that understanding is that intellectual reasoning of darkness or that interwoven thing with Satan, he said, if that light or understanding that you have is darkness, how great is that darkness, he said. It is so tremendously great. Why? Because it goes down to the bottomless pit of no return. How great is that darkness? Brother and sister, we're children of the day. We're not children of the darkness. And we're not looking toward that day that it should come upon us unaware, for as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the earth. They're not going to be able to see and understand because God is speaking to them in parabolic form. And the Bible said, without a parable spake he not unto the people. But here, to you and I, the disciples, he comes back, and the Bible said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I tutoring them. I'll come right down in the midst, and I'll talk to them. When he resurrected from the dead, on the way to Emmaus, they begin to talk one to another about Jesus. He suddenly appeared in the midst and began to tell them the wonderful things about the resurrection. Isn't that right? So then he said, when two or three come together, I'll get in the midst of you. And then I'll begin to unveil the great mysteries of God. Whereas Revelation 10 said, when the sounding of the last trump comes, then the secret shall be finished. The original rendering, secret. So then the secret shall then be finished. They that abide in the shadow of the Almighty, which has to do with the parabolic side of it, they that dwell or abide in the shadow, or out there in the shadows of the Almighty. Paul said types, shadows, allegory. They that abide in the shadow, the Bible said they shall dwell, they shall have a dwelling place, they shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. So then here comes Jesus. And he gets there with the disciples and he begins to unveil and he begins to expound and they begin to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He said, it's not given to them to know the mysteries, Jesus said. But Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And then he said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revealing. The spirit of revelation. So that you can have this great, wonderful revelation of Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you ever noticed that the one thing that happened to Adam and Eve was that they changed from believing to thinking? That's where the problem was. Now go back and look and you'll see that only one thing happened to them, and that's what caused their problem. That's what caused their downfall. It wasn't anything else. They simply changed over from believing to thinking. And when a person quits believing and starts thinking, they're in trouble. Did you know that? God programmed their mind, and God said, now this is that, and this is that, and this is the way it'll be, and this is what it's all about. And thus their mind was programmed according to God's understanding to that degree. And all they did was just believe it. That's all they did. They just believed what they'd been told. They just believed what they had understood from God. Isn't that right? They believed that, and they were in great, wonderful blessings. And their surroundings were so wonderful because they just believed that. They didn't try to reason about it. They didn't try to think the thing out. God had said it. They believed it. That settled it. And so then man was just enjoying living by faith and having the blessings of God. But one day there was a voice that came to the ears of Eve. And the voice said, hath not God said that you can eat of the trees? And then a conversation got started. Oh yes. But of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of good, of knowledge of good and evil. He said, now don't mess with that tree, you'll die. Thus their minds were programmed. But if you'll notice, the first wee bit of doubt came in. The father of lies began to bring on the unbelief. And the first thing that Satan said was, ye shall not surely. You follow me? No, ye shall not surely. And that wee bit of doubt began to penetrate Eve's mind. Well, maybe. Not surely. But God said, thou shalt surely die. Isn't it right? God, why you're not going to surely die? God knows in the day of the cheat thereof you're going to become his God. Your eyes are going to become open. You're going to know good and evil. So you're not going to surely die. And so then doubt set in. And brothers and sisters, believe it or not, but that was the beginning of sorrow for mankind, and it has never ended until this day. It has never ended until this day. For man all of a sudden quit believing and started to thinking. He quit believing. She failed to believe what God said. And though it wasn't effective until it was taken to the head, but when she took that over to Adam and Adam partook of her wrong, there as he agreed with her thoughts, there trouble started, heartache started, and man quit believing and woman quit believing. And they started to thinking. They ate of the tree of knowledge. And they begin to think about this and think about that. And all of a sudden they said, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. What did they do? They had thought themselves into trouble. They had thought themselves into trouble. Somebody would say, no, Brother Pike, that wasn't what it was. It was the awful, hideous thing that they did. But according to the Bible, when the voice of the Lord came in the evening time, he said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, I hid myself. Well, why did you hide yourself? We would say, because I'm naked. Now, what was hideous about that? They were naked when God made them. There was no condemnation in their heart. There was nothing hideous about that. They were in the same kind of condition they were to start with. But the thing was, is unbelief had struck their heart. They had violated the principles of God in that he had said, don't eat of that tree. That is, don't start thinking. Just believe what I say to you. Don't start thinking. You always get into trouble when you start thinking. God said the just shall live by faith. And the carnal mind is enmity to God. And he said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity to the obedience of Christ every thought. And the Bible says that we are not to lean to this understanding at all. Lean not to your own understanding. And I say again, what could they get from that tree that they didn't already have? one thing. The Bible said it was a knowledge of good and evil. They already had the knowledge of good. Because the Bible said God withholds no good thing from them that walk upright before Him. God had already programmed their mind with the knowledge of good. And that's all they needed. Jesus said, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light, speaking of the eyes of your understanding. But if you get over here and you believe in the mind of God and get the mind of believing, and then you get over here and get the mind of reasoning, then He said, you're not single in your eyes anymore. He said, and you're not looking right, and you don't see right anymore. He said, you become double-minded. And then you become unstable. And then, in all of your ways, He said, you are at fault. And there's no hope. For the double-minded man shall not receive anything of God. If you're going to have the mind of the devil and have the mind of God, brother, you're not going to receive anything from God. Because in the first place, the mind of God isn't going to dwell there. The only knowledge that you're going to have of God is that knowledge that's going to bring you under condemnation. That is the do's and don'ts. And you're going to realize all of a sudden that you're under the heavy condemnation of God. And you don't have anything from God. Not anything. If you're double-minded, you're not going to succeed in anything. But I'll tell you what, if you'll take the mind of Christ, just take that one wonderful mind of Jesus. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ. Take that wonderful mind of God, read it, understand it, and say, yea and amen, hallelujah, I believe it. Don't reason about it. Somebody said, well, I don't know. I don't know whether it would do what it said or not. I'm not sure. I don't know whether it would work for me or not. I'm not sure I'm in place. Don't do all of that. Will you read it? Yea and amen. Hallelujah. Jesus' blood avails for me. Christ died for me. The Bible said, by His stripes I am healed. I am sanctified by the faith which is in Him. My God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. Yea and amen, Father. You understand what I'm saying? Just get the mind of God. Say yea and amen. If you have pain, say yea and amen, Father, Thy word is true. If you have sorrow, have heartaches, yea and amen, Father, Thy word is true. If you're in poverty, say, yeah and amen, Father, Thy word is true. And the first news you know, the pain leaves. The sickness leaves. And the first news you know, the poverty leaves. Are you following me now? And the first news you know, all of your opposition leaves and your heartaches leave. And you find out that you're walking hand in hand with Jesus. Oh, you say, well, I can't believe that. That's where your trouble is. That's what I'm trying to tell you right there. Right there is what I'm trying to tell you. Adam and Eve, leave that side of it alone. Leave that part of it alone. Don't go back to that thing that said, I can't believe that. What's that got to do with it? See, what's my thinking got to do with it anyway? God was the one that created all things. God was the one that spoke everything into existence, children of God. God was the one that said, let it be. And the Bible said there, it came to pass. And the Bible said all of His promises of yea, are yea and amen. Not one of them can be changed or be altered. Therefore, why should I, as a feeble, little, finite individual, reason to say, well, will that work or will God do that or did He really mean it? Who am I to think like that? See, that's the thing that keeps us from the riches of God. All of His promises are yea and amen. Everything is given in our behalf. And all we've got to do is program our mind with it. Love the Lord. Believe it. Go out there and enjoy it to the fullest extent. Don't wonder about it. Don't reason about it. Don't try to figure it out and say, well, I don't know whether it will or not. See, that's the thing that keeps us from our inheritance. It's not God. The Bible said God has given us all things in Christ Jesus. All things are yours, He said. I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. I'll heal all of your diseases. I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. I've given you all things that pertain unto life, whether it's physically, naturally, spiritually. Yea and amen, Father. Yea and amen. Hallelujah. You say, what are you trying to do, Brother Pike? Get back in the garden. Go back to the originality. Come back to what God has given us. Someday God's going to bring that great millennium of the restoration of the garden. And then people out there, they're not going to wonder about this and reason about that and ask about this. It's just going to go on their way rejoicing. Hallelujah. Yeah and amen, Father. Everything just fine. Watchman, what of the night? All is well because Jesus reigns on the throne. All is well, Father. Amen. See, and we don't reason. We don't lean to our own understanding. We don't try to figure it out. We just go forth. We believe it. We accept it. We say, that's the way it is. God, you said it. We believe it. Amen. I say again, children of God, there is nothing that God can do for you. You know, we say, oh, if God would just do this, and if God would just do that, there are so many things that God could do for me. If I could just get God to do it, if God would just do it. But I want you to know there's nothing that God can do for you. You say, now, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I mean, there's nothing that God can do for you that He hasn't already done in Christ Jesus. There is not one thing that God can do for you that He hasn't already done. God has not withheld one thing. For I shall withhold no good thing from them that walk upright before me. Shall He not freely with Christ give us all things? I say this again, if Jesus Christ is the best thing that heaven can afford, and God has freely given us Christ Jesus, would then God take something secondary to Christ Jesus and hold it back from us? Would God hold back what we call the puny riches of this world? The diamonds, the gold, the silver? Would God hold back health? Would God hold back happiness? All of those things are secondary to Jesus. After God has given me Jesus, would He then hold back healing or any of those things? No, my brother. You say, well, Brother Pike, tell me one thing. Why don't we have it? Because you don't believe it. Man is the problem. Man is the one that's in the way. Go back and check the book. Read it. The Bible said, see if any one of these like their mate. Every one of them line upon line, precept upon precept has come to pass. It's been proven all down through the years that ever since the world begun, everything that's been written of Christ or been written concerning the church, everything, not one of them has liked her mate. Oh, they're a mate. The Bible says, go back and check it out and see. So then if we know that, children of God, then why is it we cannot trust in it? That's why I say we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. See, your first birth brings you a carnal mind that's just contrary to faith. You just can't believe it's all this to it. It's just contrary. It's imitative of the great spirit. You can't believe. That's where the problem is. You understand what I'm saying? Therefore, you must be born again. You must get the mind of Christ. Paul said, be you therefore transformed by the renewing of your minds to prove that which is the good and acceptable will of God. So then, to be transformed, what happened to Adam and Eve? Just a little bit of talk, and Eve got converted. Not really converted, she got perverted. Isn't that right? You know, you could talk to a person, and the Bible said if you convert a person, know that you've saved a soul from hell. Once you convert a person's thinking, you don't have to worry about the soul. It's going to follow that. See, the Bible said God hath made us saviors. Isn't that right? I'll bring up upon the mountain saviors. Saviors in the plural. Know that you have become a man's savior. You understand what I'm saying? So then, to convert, and Eve, she listened to a voice she shouldn't have listened to. And all of a sudden there was, as we would say, a conversion. Or there was a perversion. And her mind began to transformate. As she began to listen, it would be just like translating the Bible from one kind of writing into another. See, it began to transformate. Her mind began to transformate. And the way that it happened was reasoning entered in. Before them, there was no reasoning. Well, you don't find where Adam and Eve ever reasoned about God's word. God said, thou shalt not eat. Yeah, and amen, Father. Isn't that right? You don't find any place where they ever said, well, I don't know, or maybe we ought to try it, or maybe we need to find out. They didn't do that. Because they did not lean to their own understanding. But the very minute that this voice came in, it said, thou shalt not surely. And they began to reason. When they began to reason, then came the other understanding. Then came the breach between man's mind and God's mind. Then came that thing that interfered with believing. And instead of believing, they begin to think. They begin to think. Instead of believing, they begin to think. But before then, all they did was believe. Man shall live by faith. Brother, sister, you don't know how close you are to God. Did you know, as I said the other night, it is an insult to God for us to take that thought that this body must die after a few years. That is such an insult to God. I want to retrace my thoughts here just for a minute. It is an insult. I say, well, Lord, I've lived 30 years. I'm getting closer to death. Lord, I've lived 50 years. I'm getting closer to death. Lord, I've lived 70 years. Bring on the casket. Dig the hole in the ground. Where's the coffin? Like I had a vision one time over in Illinois, going there to preach. And man, I was really having a battle. I mean, I was sick. I got Betty room. I got in the other. I began to call on God. While I was down praying, I went into a vision. And here come some people rolling the coffin in. They said, well, we're looking for somebody. I said, who? I said, we're looking for Mr. Pike. I said, you are? I said, yep. I said, this is it. I said, all right. I got up and, you know, I put my foot in the casket and I was fixing to lay down. I said, hey, wait a minute. Something's wrong here. I said, something's wrong here. I said, no. No. When I looked at that casket, I said, no. Okay, we'll just go on our way. So they went on their way. Now see, that's the way, you know, that's the way the garbage man is. He'll come around and say, where's the garbage? We don't have any. Okay, see you next time. Why should we surrender our lives and our bodies to death? Just because death comes around to haul us off. Why should we do that? You say, Brother Pike, what are you saying? I'm saying, we say we're 50 years old, 100 years old, or whatever. We make it 120. Somebody said, well, there's one thing for sure. You might make it to 120, but if you do, you'll be a stack of bones and you'll be a wobbly bobbly and you'll just be holding on by strings, you know, like a little puppet. Say, well, why is that, my brother? Say, well, this old body, it just won't take it. It just wears out. Now, don't you know that's an insult to God? You look over here and here's the man 70 years old and they put him in a box because he's old and can't make it. Well, he just couldn't do it. Then I say again, you look over here at Caleb, and Caleb, you're old Caleb, about 90, 100 years old, said, let's go fight somebody. Abraham said, I hear there's a war. Where's the camel? Hallelujah! And I said, well, they made it, you know. They made it. But said, now let's don't get beside ourselves. After all, somebody would say, we got people, you know, live to be, well, 120 sometimes, very rare. But then I say again, what are we going to do about that man that lived 365 years? Here we go again. That poor, worn out old body that just ain't no good. God just didn't know what he was doing, couldn't do what he's supposed to do. He made something down here, it just don't last. They ain't a very good product. Isn't that an insult to God? 365 years. Had a son about 65 and walked with God about 300 years. Still going strong, and the Bible said he was not, for God took him. Ain't that right? Well, somebody would say, now that is really something there. Now think on that one a little bit for sure. But now if he got that far along. But then we look over here and we find another man, he's about 700 years old. And somebody said, well, I just don't know. And then we find another and he's 900 years old. And the Bible don't say anything about him wearing out. Not anything. 900 years he lived. My brother, I'm persuaded to believe if this thing will go 900 years, it'll go 9 million years. The same thing that made it go 900 years will make it go 9 million years. So I said, well, there ain't going to be none of that over yonder. Jesus come up out of that grave, and they said, a spirit. He said, fill of me now. Wait just a minute. He said, a spirit don't have flesh and bones like you see me have. Now, brother, if God had brought a spirit up out of that coffin, there wouldn't have been no resurrection. Because God didn't put a spirit in the coffin. He put a man in the coffin. And to have a true resurrection, for me to stand up and not tell a lie, but tell the truth, there had to be a man come out of that box, as we say. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, folks. He's alive. You can believe it or not, but he's alive. I'm here as his witness. He come out of the box, as we say. He come up out of that coffin, or that tomb, whatever. He come up out of it. He's alive. Somebody said, well, I know. No, you don't either. Because the way you think, that isn't the right way to know. He come up out of that tomb. He is a man, just like I'm a man. Walk. Somebody said, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike. Don't get beside yourself now. If Jesus is a man, where is he at? All right, I'll ask you a question then. Jesus said over concerning John that we'll just exchange a few questions here. I said, we want to know by what power and authority you do this. Jesus said, all right. So I'll tell you, providing that I can ask you a question, you answer me, all right. Said, the baptism of John. Said, was that of God or was that of man? And then they begin to reason. They said, well, now wait a minute, let's see. Said, now if we say that this thing is of God, he's going to say, well, why didn't you believe him? And said, if we say that this thing is of man, he said, we're going to get stoned to death. They said, we can't tell you. He said, neither do I tell you. Isn't that right? So then somebody said, well, Brother Pike, where is he? I'd ask you a question. Where is Elijah? Can you tell me where Elijah is? If you tell me where Elijah is, I'll tell you where Jesus is. Elijah was a man. He was a man, folks. He was a man. So then I tell you that there really is a resurrection from the dead. Amen. Really is a resurrection, a genuine resurrection from the dead. So then this body is a great thing. My, it's the temple of God. Can you imagine? Somebody said, why this thing just wore out, Brother Pike, a few years and it just can't take it. Can't you just imagine? God, you had a good temple when I was 32 years old. But Lord, I tell you, it's a poor thing now. Now, can't you imagine that? Somebody said, well, where the problem is, Brother Pike, you've got to die, and then when you get up out of the ground, everything will be all right. It'll be a good temple. I'd love to know what that's got to do with it. I've asked the question a lot of times, what has that got to do with me laying down in a coffin and dying and rotting and my bones cracking all up and the skin worms working on me? Here I'm laying in the coffin. You know, I say, everything's working out just right, and it's going to be better after this. Somebody said, well, that's the way it works. Well, why is it when they get up out of the grave, it ain't going to be no better for them according to the book of Revelation? The Bible says he's going to put them in the flames of hell. They're going into the lake of fire. Isn't that right? It ain't going to be no better for them. Ain't going to be no better. See, what's the grave got to do with it? David said, Lord, I can't praise you in the grave. Why do you want to kill me? Why? Somebody said, well, the Lord has to kill you, Brother Pike. Well, why does God have to kill me?
You know, I'm preaching to you and I'm explaining some things to you, and I'm asking you to explain some things to me according to your doctrine. Why does God want to kill me? Somebody said, well, I don't believe God does. Well, now we're getting together. Why do we all look forward to it then? See, why does God want to kill me? Well, now the Bible said that God kills and God makes alive. I know that, but God kills the wicked. God kills the wicked. You say, well, he killed his own son. We esteem him smitten of God. Why? Because he was made to be the wicked one. Not that he was the wicked one. Not that he was a sinner. For the Bible teaches he didn't know any sin. But because we had been the sinner, he became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. Therefore, God had to smite the wicked. Isn't that right? That was the only way to eradicate the thing from the earth. But brother, I can't picture God wanting to kill his son. He let Jesus die so that I didn't have to die. God isn't on my trail to try to kill me. I'm not running from God. You know, we go around trying to serve God and say, oh my God, I love you, Jesus. My God, if I just hold on a little longer, if you don't knock my brains out, we're going to make it. Isn't that some way to serve God? Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, why come you act like that? You go down the road driving a car half scared to death. You know, afraid the devil's going to, you know, just jump out in front of you and God's going to let him do it and whoop, up you go. See, there's got to be something wrong. The same thing that happened to Adam and Eve. God didn't want them to die. God didn't say, Adam and Eve, I'm setting the tree out here now. I'm going to kill you because I'm going to make you eat of that tree. God didn't do that. God said, Adam and Eve, there is a danger and I want you to stay away from it. Amen. Folks, that's what God's telling us. Stay away from it. Amen. You don't want to eat of that tree of knowledge. You don't want to get in that mixed up with that rim of reasoning. Stay away from it. Like Gehazi running after the world, trying to get a dollar, trying to get a little gold and silver. Just think about that. Running after a little gold and silver. And a few changes of raiment. When there he was standing with a man over there that had a double portion of God's Spirit. Over there that could resurrect the dead. And him running after a bunch of junk. It's no wonder God got upset with him and gave him leprosy. He become wicked. Is that right? So then I'm saying this. This body was made to live, folks. This is the temple of God. It's good. And this earth was made to be inhabited. Scientists have learned they can't destroy anything in the earth. It just changes forms and goes back to its original carbon, whatever. But it's always the same. They can't destroy matter. There's no way that they can do it. They can destroy its form. But it'll come right back to its originality when God speaks. So then God isn't going to lose anything that he created. He said, not even one hair on your head's going to perish. Now, brother, that might not mean much to you, but when you begin to get look like me, then that means a whole lot. Because you get to looking for him. So then, I say, what has death got to do with it? Why should I go into a hole? Why should I lay down and die? What's that got to do with it? I'm no better if they put me in a hole and take me out on the other side. I'm no better than I was on this side of the hole. And to prove that that's true, Jesus wasn't no better on that side than he was on this side. Wasn't he just as much the Son of God on this side of Calvary as he was on that side of Calvary? Somebody said, well, when we die, we're going to be sons of God. But John said, now, beloved, you're the sons of God. Why, you don't have to die to become a son of God. Somebody said, but what you got to do, Brother Pine, is have some kind of understanding that you're beside yourself. Why do you have to die to go to heaven, Brother Pine? But Jesus said to Nicodemus, said the Son of Man who was in heaven and who is in heaven. So what's that got to do with it? Well, he didn't die to go to heaven. Somebody said, well, Jesus had to die to go to heaven. Where did you ever read that in the Bible? See, God didn't say anything about having to die to go to heaven. Why, Jesus walked up on the Mount of Transfiguration before he ever left this world. and went right up into glory. And the Bible said he appeared there with Moses and Elijah in glory. And it's evident that Paul didn't have to die to get to heaven. The Bible said he went up into the third heaven. He said, I knew a man. It's also evident that John didn't have to do it. He just got in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and there he was in heaven. Somebody say, I love Jesus. He said, well, what are you trying to prove? That I'm not sleepy. There ain't no need of us doing that if there ain't no need for it. Now, ain't that right? Now, if you could prove to me that there's a need for that, then I'll say, all right, brother, sister. But my brother, if you can't prove there's a need for it, I ain't going to look in that direction. I'm not looking in that direction. Because if there's no need for it, why do it? And I said, well, let's wait one of these days, you will do it. Well, I'll tell you what, if I do, I hope you don't. I ain't planning to do it myself. What we need to do is believe. Jesus said you pass from death unto life. You've already entered into heaven. God's already caught you away and translated you into the marvelous kingdom of God. You say, Brother Pike, what are we waiting for? The change of the body. Somebody said, now there you are. When you die, you'll get your change. I don't see where that's got to, anything to do with it. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die, but be changed. So what's death got to do with the change? Somebody said, well, you know, this is an extra special. Well, what was that about Enoch over there? Enoch was changed. How did he do it? The Bible said he was translated by faith that he should not see death. Isn't that right? So then what are we trying to say? Paul said, we wish this even the perfecting of your faith. Folks, we need a generation that's going to believe God and forget about death and put death behind us and realize that death is God's enemy and God hath no pleasure in death. How many of you believe that God hath no pleasure in death? Why then do you have a pleasure in death? Somebody said, well, I don't. Well, why are you always preparing for it? See, God doesn't have any pleasure in death. God doesn't want us to die. See, this thing is just a matter of the mind. Did you know that? Somebody said, what do you mean by that? Well, even science says it's mind over matter. Have you believed that that's true? See, they've got the right formula. They just got the wrong mind. See, it's God's mind over matter. He's the one that created all things. It's His mind that spoke it into existence. That's what we want, is the mind of God. Then we'll have control over this matter. Isn't that right? This form of matter called a human being. We'll have control over it. Somebody said, well, when Jesus come out of the grave, He could walk through the wall. As far as I'm concerned, when a man walks off into glory, he's already walked through the wall. He didn't have to die to get through the wall. He went straight through the wall. So then, folks, I'm just trying to explain something here to where you can understand it. Somebody said, well, at least you can fellowship the angels. Why, Ezekiel just rode around in the air just like he had an airplane. Spirit just pick him up and take him over here and set him down. When Elijah got ready to go, he just called up heaven and said, send me a fire chariot. Stepped on board and away he went. Isn't that right? Folks, it's a wonderful day. Did you know that? He said, what kind of day is it, Brother Pike? It's the day of conquering death. Jesus said, I have destroyed him that hath power over death. This is the thing I want the Bethlehemites to get a hold of. I have destroyed him that hath power over death. Well, we could go into a lot about that, talk about them that are down in the earth and where Lucifer's going to be and them that are up in heaven and where there ain't going to be no Lucifer. It's just so wonderful. But it's a matter of your mind. Even Adam lost out for one reason. They got to thinking instead of believing. And folks, I'm telling you the truth. When you lean to your own understanding, you get to thinking instead of believing. And then you cut off yourself from God. I'm going to say this and try to close tonight. The reason that man dies at the age that he dies at right now. And other men back there live 900 years old, to be 900 years old. You know what the difference is? One thing, when Adam and Eve got out from under that Shekinah glory of God, that Spirit, and they put distance between them and the Spirit of God, they died. And their descendants has been dying ever since. And the further that their descendants get from God, that is, the more that their children reason, and the generation reasons, and the more knowledge that they get of natural carnal things, the more carnally minded they get, more death comes on them, for to be carnally minded is death. So then the farther they get from the Spirit in the mind of Christ. And they've got farther and farther and farther and farther, and their life got shorter and shorter and shorter, because a man shortens his days by his disobedience. But brother, ever since Calvary, God made it to where them that are foreign and aliens to the commonwealth of God or Israel can be drawn and made nigh by the blood of Jesus. Isn't that right? Now it's time to draw nigh to God. The Bible said, draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. So let's get closer. Let's fill in that gap that Adam and Eve made by just, you know, coming right on in. Being born again. Let him get in our spirit and take this outer man and start surrendering this outer man to that inner man, and let that glory of God that broke through Moses, that illuminated him, that illuminated Jesus on the mountain, let that same Shekinah glory come right back into our blood genetics from within after our new birth, and we'll suddenly find that we'll outshine the noonday sun. Death is swallowed up in victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Death is swallowed up by your faith, because Enoch was translated by faith. Can you say amen?
Amen?
All right, I want you to stand with me tonight. I love you. I appreciate you. I'm not fussing with you. I'm just trying to provoke you to thought and jealousy concerning God's Word in a way that's congenial to where you can get a hold of it. I'll tell you what, if you miss this train, as our brother sang that song, you're going to be sorry, because as he sang, he said, last train, last train, he said. If you miss this one, you shall never get another one. Last train. Oh, brother, don't miss this one. You know them people that wouldn't listen to Noah, that stood on the outside of that ark when that door finally began to close? The clouds begin to billow, and maybe the lightning begin to flash, whatever. And somebody, no doubt, said, my God, that old crank, as we called him. Well, you know what? I'm beginning to think he wasn't a crank at all. My God, I never seen it do this before. And look at that door to that big ark as it begins to swing too. And all these things begin to happen. And I'm sure they must have panicked, and they must have begun to scream, and somebody must have begun to holler out, oh God, wait a minute, no, wait. I've changed my mind. But the big door just kept swinging too. Too late. Last train. If you miss that train, you'll never get another train. And I'm sure they must have said, my God, open that door. Oh God, we've changed our mind. We're wrong about this thing. Oh, God, we didn't know it was going to happen like this. Lord, you didn't give us a chance. But he did. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Someone would say, but I can console myself, Brother Pike. I said, well, how can you do that? Well, I believe I'm all right. So did Judas. Believing ain't got nothing to do with it. Somebody said, well, if you believe it, that makes it right. No, brother, believing's not faith. That's wrong. See, if believing is faith, according to the Bible, faith saves you. If believing is faith, then the devil is sanctified and on his way to glory. Because the Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes too. See, believing is not faith. The Bible don't say anything about believing being faith. The Bible said faith cometh by the hearing of God's Word. It's believing in God's Word. That's what faith is. You love Jesus? So then, just believing you're right, that don't mean you're right. I've said this a lot of times. You can have an intellectual concept of God's Word up in your head. And you can intellectually believe. And you can have what the Bible calls will worship. Paul said these people are will worshipers. Whereas remember, Jesus wasn't born of the will of man. We're not begotten of the will of man. But of God. Will worship. Will worship. There was no human sensation or desire in the birth of Jesus. It wasn't the will of man or desire of man. It was the inspiration of God. Will worship? You will yourself to go to church. You will yourself to sit in the pews. You will yourself to believe on the Lord Jesus. You will yourself to do these things when down in your heart you don't have any desire. It's contrary to you. It's contrary to your ambition. You'd rather be somewhere else. You'd rather be doing something else. You just will yourself to talk about this or to do that or to listen at somebody when they talk about Jesus. That's will worship, my brother, sister. But see, the Bible said we have an unction from the Holy One. We have an unction that we should know all things. And this unction creates a desire. And this unction drives me to the church of the living God. It compels me to go. It creates the hunger, the stimulation, the burning desire. And it burns like fire within. And I love to go to the house of God. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of God. I long for it. I live for it. I look to God. I love the Word of God. I love His people. I know that it passed from death unto life. Because I love God's people, I want to be with them. The only proof of life over death is love. Love is as strong as death. That's the only thing that can prevail when it wrestles against it. Nothing else can prevail. And we know that we've passed from death unto life. We know that we've already done it. Not going to do it. We've done passed over that barrier. How? Because we love. We love. What kind of love? God's love. We love our brother and sister in Christ. How do we know that we love them? We want to help them. We want to stand by them. We want to share their enthusiasm. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We want to evangelize the world for Jesus. Help feed the hungry, the poor, the needy. We want to use our talents, our ability, our strength. Our ambition, our power of ingenuity, all that God has given us, our businesses, whatever, our substance, we want to use it for the glory of God. The Bible said these women ministered to Jesus of their substance. These men ministered to Jesus. Times when they gave Him a meal. Jesus said, I was hungry and you didn't give me no meal. Times when they made Him garments. But Jesus said, I was naked and you didn't clothe me. And when Jesus didn't feel too good in body. And I'm sure there was many times like that because the Bible said He was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. I'm sure that some of the brethren, like John when he leaned over on Jesus' breath, that they tried to love Him and console Him and help Him and comfort Him. When He had to feed the multitude, they got the pennies together. Isn't that right? Jesus said, I was hungry, but you didn't feed me. I was sick. I was sick, but you didn't minister to me. And then sometimes there's brothers that are bound by evil powers and oppressions and fears, trouble, complex of life. He said, I was in a prison. You never visited me. That can be a natural prison. That can be a spiritual prison. But you never done anything to help me. You know, there's people in Africa that's in a prison of fear. Some of them feed their little children to the crocodiles. And they're in a prison. And yet they're God's people. But they've never found liberation. But someday they will. God will send somebody. See, but you are supposed to help. You're supposed to go. You don't go. He was in prison. You didn't visit him. That fear of witchcraft. We've been over into Haiti and it's bad over there. Can we do anything? Oh, yes, my brother. Honor the Lord with your substance. Okay, let's sing this little chorus together. Sing the song, I Love Him, because I really do love Him. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if you love Jesus tonight, you'll do just exactly that. All right, let's sing it together. I love Him. I love Him. One of these days, God's going to reward you for listening, for coming to church, listening, spending your time sitting here hearing these things. It's heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. Get all you can. Get all you can. They used to have a little saying in the world, get all you can and can all you get. All that is, get all you can and preserve all of it. Preserve all of it. Get everything you can. Oh, brother, what treasure. What treasure, what treasure. I love Him. You know, Solomon didn't ask for riches. He just said, give me understanding. Isn't that right? But what happened? Somebody said, well, God gave him all the gold and all the silver and all the riches because he didn't ask for it. He just asked for wisdom. Why not look at it like it is? The truth is, he said, God, give me an understanding heart. And when he got wisdom, brother, sister, wisdom brings you all the diamonds, gold, and silver you want. When you get the right kind of wisdom, you can take a man, you can take a man, and you can make him a servant. You can take that man and take every dollar he's got. Now, I'm talking about from the other side of life. You can take every dime he's got. You can put him in a well, harness him, and make a servant out of him. See what it was? Solomon got the wisdom of God. When Solomon got the wisdom of God, well, it wasn't no trouble to get the diamonds, gold, silver, and build whatever he wanted and have the whole world admiring him. Isn't that right? With wisdom, get understanding. Solomon finally learned you need more than wisdom. He found out you could do a lot of things with wisdom, but it takes some understanding to keep you out of hell. Did you know that? When he got mixed up with the wrong people, he began to learn he needed some understanding. So then, this is what we want, an understanding heart. He said, Father, give me an understanding heart. And it wasn't a selfish thing. He said, so that I'll know how to go in and out among your people and speak to your people. For who can speak to this so great a people? Who can speak to gods? Your gods, Jesus said. Can I, as a mortal being, speak to gods? How can I conduct myself in the presence of gods? I don't know how to act. But in Jesus, it's not me speaking, but it's Him. For they shall all be taught of God. Ye are gods, but because of the lack of knowledge, ye shall die like men, not getting the proper knowledge of that heavenly treasure. Brother, sister, don't sell your birthright to heaven for a morsel of bread. Don't be like Esau. Don't be foolish. You get the understanding of God, the mind of Christ. You can have everything in the earth you want because it'll give it to you. Faith will bring all of it. Can we sing that one more time? Then we're going to pray over some prayer clause here. And I'm just going to take a few minutes tonight. And I'm going to let you go. I love Him. I love Him. Because He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing it one more time now. Do you love Him? Do you keep His commandments? Love Him. Love Him because He first loved me and He purchased.
righteous mind salvation on Calvary's tree.
Now I want you to bow your heads with me if you will. I'm going to pray over these prayer cloths. Ask God to touch them. Oh, Ramanda Rianda Rabu Shida Barianda Ramura Vasai. Andalamasi Andalamasi Andarianda Rabu Karamanda Rianda Rabu Shandarianda Ramu Sandaramanaya. Ilavandi Alavu Shandali Alavu Sandarianda Rabu Karamanda Rianda Rabu Sandaramanaya. Yea, harden not thine heart as they did in the days of the provocation in the wilderness, when they tempted me for 40 years, saith the Lord, and proved me. Let there not be found within you in that day an evil heart of unbelief. Thou canst hear, yea, if thou canst come, yea, if thou canst understand. The Lord thy God shall lead thee. He shall lead thee in love. For surely the love of God leadeth thee to repentance. If thou canst believe, if thou canst believe, yea, if thou canst believe, I will bless thee with heavenly blessings in heavenly places. And ye shall sit together in heavenly places in the kingdom of God. Yea, and ye shall walk upright before me, and ye shall lack no good thing. For I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I, the Lord, shall perform it. For I, the Lord, am in thy midst. Yea, and I, the Lord, shall deal with thee harshly if thou shalt reject my word. Yea, in the dark night shall come, and thou shalt remember then the crucifixion, for thou shalt bear thine own shame, for thou hast not surrendered thy heart. Yea, and in the day of poverty, in the day of heartaches, thou shalt remember that wisdom called unto thee from the gates, and thou wouldest not in the day of calamity. Wisdom shall forsake thee, and thou shalt seek it, but thou shalt not find it. Yea, seek wisdom early, that it might be valuable to thee when the sorrows and heartaches come. Yea, for the day of judgment is approaching. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel God speaking to somebody tonight. As I started to pray over these prayer cloths, the Holy Ghost of God came down. And he began to speak. The Bible said, it shall not be you speaking, but your heavenly Father speaking from within you. Brother Bird came to us yesterday, and we was praying down the print room, and he wanted a word from God. I laid my hands on him, and I began to pray. The Bible said, my sheep know my voice. God's voice is a knowledge. Did you know that? We say it just dawned on us from that heavenly world, a bright, sunshiny morning. They know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And I laid my hands on him, and I began to pray, and he said, I want a word from God, I want help. He had come to me and told me. And he said, my mother-in-law is causing me problems with my wife. And so the preachers and different ones come around there interfering with my family. And he wanted to know what God had to say about it, and we began to pray. And then I heard him say, the mind of God began to approach. The mind of God began to come into view. As you begin to talk with him, the anointing comes, and with that comes the mind of God. The mind of healing, faith, that faith of Christ, that discernment of Christ, that voice of Christ. Isn't that right? We're God's instruments in the earth. And all of a sudden, it came, and I heard something say, I will trouble them that trouble you. And I said, Brother Bird, there it is. You wanted a word? I said, that's what he said. And he began to weep and cry. I will trouble them that trouble you. Tonight, when God speaks to you, you need to honor him, children of God, and obey him. You need to do what he tells you. Because I heard him say, in that day you'll remember the crucifixion. You know what that means? In that day when you long for someone to
to bear your iniquity. You look back at Calvary, but it'd be too late. You've sold your birthright. For the Bible said, after that you've once come to the knowledge of the truth, you've tasted of the heavenly gift and been made partakers of the Holy Ghost and tasted of the good word of God and the power of the worlds to come, that if he shall fall away, to renew you again under repentance, it is impossible. Seeing that you crucify Christ afresh and you bring him to an open shame, but inasmuch as the rain, he said, comes both on the briar and on the wheat, or as it comes upon the briar, even that which is nigh unto cursing, he said, so shall it be with you in that day. So shall it be. Brother, when you come to the knowledge of the truth, Christ's blood does not atone for willful transgression. There is no atonement for willful transgression. He died for your transgressions, in that you were in your sin and in ignorance. But when you come to the knowledge of the truth, and then you won't have the love of God, then you won't listen, there is no atonement for that kind of sin. There is no shed blood. You say, well, what does that mean, Brother Pike? That means that you've got to pay for every wrong. There is no blood to pay for it. You've got to pay for every wrong. It might be the death of a child. It might be separation of home. It might be a wreck in the car. It might be poverty, bruises on your back. But whatever, everyone must be paid for. The Bible said, seeing that the angels, greater in power and might, received a just recompense of reward for every transgression, how shall ye escape if ye neglect so great salvation? And the servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with more stripes. For to whom he hath committed much of the same, he will require the more. But there is a consolation to that servant that knew not to do his Lord's will, that committed things worthy of stripes. The Bible says he shall be beaten with few stripes. So then tonight, remember Jesus, for he remembered you. He remembered you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, heal and save and forgive. Anoint these prayer cloths even as you did the aprons that went out from Paul's body. And Ola Mandorama Karama Shandoramanaya. Holy Father, Lord, whereby there were special miracles wrought. Mundorama Karama Mamasai. Father, the thoughts, Holy Father, of having something from the side of the great Apostle Paul inspired people's faith in God until you healed, O God. Heal, Lord, if you could make the ground holy wherein Moses stood, Father, and the apron holy, Horamandaramashaya. God, surely you can make the grounds of little Bethlehem holy. And this dust that I'm made out of, Father, you said, be holy for I'm holy. God, if you can make it holy, you can make these cloths holy to anoint them, Lord, with your loving presence. Onuramakamamashaya, that they may inspire somebody's faith, beloved Father. Lord, as they go their way, to be something between the praying people of Bethlehem and the believing people of Bethlehem and that person that's seeking, Lord, to touch the hem of his garment. Let these cloths, O God, be the garment, O Holy Father, that they touch that Jesus, the great anointing of God, by faith may accompany them. And through their faith in God, as they touch these garments, may the God of the Spirit heal and save and forgive. And tonight, God, may there not be a person here that would spurn the love of God or go their way, doing their own thing. Lord, turning again to the beggarly elements of the world to be in bondage. For God's great sake, help us. And thou hast given us all things that pertain unto life,
What more could we find if we followed Satan? Only a perversion of that which you've already given us. For thou hast given us all things. For you said all things are ours. There's nothing to get out there except something that already belongs to God, that Satan has perverted to bring death to our soul. Jesus, deliver us. Deliver us, Father, in the name of your darling, lovely Son, Jesus, by your sweet, loving Holy Ghost. Do it in Jesus' name, Heavenly Father. I want you tonight, as we sing this little chorus, I want to lay these claws right here for those that were supposed to get them. I'm going to sing another little chorus with you. And when we sing this chorus, I want you to give your hearts to Jesus. Will you do that? If you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus, surrender your heart to Jesus. Give him all of your love and devotion. Someday you're going to need him. The songwriter wrote the song, I Need Thee. In that hour, I will need thee most of all. In that hour, when I come down to the crossing of the chilly Jordan, it says, oh Lord, don't forsake me. For in that hour, I will need thee most of all. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy word and spirit, thy rod and staff, they comfort me. And though I'm down here in the valley of this lonely place called the earth, and you're looking down from the hilltops of heaven, Father, I know you see me. And the clouds of doubt and despondency and the shadow of Satan falls upon us. Death hovers over us, Father. But I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, it's a comfort to me. Thou preparest a table before me, and in the feast of charity we feed together. And you do it in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with the oil of glory. Oh, Father, my cup is running over. My cup is running over. The writer said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell or abide in the house of the Lord forever. Don't you want to abide forever? The Bible says the servant abideth not forever. He works, he does his chores, or she does her chores, and then they go to their own home. But the son stays in the house because he lives there. The daughter stays in the house. The servant abideth not forever. But oh, children of God, when everybody's gone on home, we're going to inhabit this earth. Did you know that? It's our place. It's our place. It's our home. We're going to inhabit heaven and earth. It belongs to us. But the servants will have gone on their way. They're just here for a time to do service unto God, to keep everything together, till God can have time to multiply and replenish the earth and school his children. And then after that, won't be no need for the servants to stay around then. Do you love him? Okay, I just feel to sing that one more time. I love him. Lift your hands up. Will you do that for me? I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands. He hath made our hands holy. The symbol of Jesus. Oh, Father, remember us. I love you. Jesus, I love you because you first loved me. And I'll keep your commandments because I love you, Jesus. And you purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. One more time and then we're going to close. If you haven't told him you love him, you know, if you haven't told Jesus today that you love him, now's a good time to tell him that you love him. He said, my people have forgotten me. The ass, it knoweth its crib. The ox, knoweth the stall and knoweth its owner, but my people don't consider. Ye that pass by here, doesn't it mean anything to you as you behold Calvary? All ye that pass by to see the sufferings, the ox knoweth its crib, but my people don't consider. They've forgotten me days without number. Oh, beloved brother, have you forgotten God? Sister, have you forgotten God? How many days has it been since you said, I love you, Jesus? You know, they sang that song, how long has it been since you talked with the Lord? How long since you prayed till the light broke through? How long have you forgotten Him days without number? He hasn't forgotten you. Every day He's fed you, provided for you, watched over your children, took care of you. Just turn to Him and say, Jesus, oh Jesus, I'm so sorry I hurt your feelings. The Bible said, grieve not the precious Holy Spirit of Jesus. Don't grieve it. Don't grieve it. It feels your infirmities. He's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And He feels your infirmities, my brother, sister. He suffered so He could feel human infirmities. For God knew nothing of infirmities. But He made Himself a body called Jesus Christ the Son. Personified Himself in it and come down to get acquainted with infirmities so He could be the great, wonderful God to feel your infirmities through the body called His Son. The body that the original rendering says, I am pleased to dwell in. The temple that He dwelt in without measure. All tonight, don't grieve Him. Don't hurt His feelings. I love Him. I love you, Jesus. Because you first loved me, and you purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I hope everything's well with you tonight. I trust that all is well with you. I'm going to ask Brother Carl Notemars to come up here tonight and dismiss us. While our brother is coming, I want you to reverence the Lord. Lift your hands up once again, please. Close your eyes. And as our brother Carl comes up tonight, I want you to think upon Jesus. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Sometimes we can examine ourselves. We don't have to go to the doctor. So examine yourselves. As you're in the presence of the great high physician, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Faith by the hearing of the word. See if your confidence is in the righteousness of Jesus and in His words.